Okay, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the possibly being creatures of habit and how we're tying this into John Wesley's three simple rules of what he wrote in Methodism and how we're going to go about to look at that. When you talk about a creature of habit, Webster defines that as a noun. It's a usual way of behaving, something that a person does often in a regular or a repeated way. Does that sound like something you all do? Are you habitual? Do you do something every day? Do you get up, do the same type of thing, or at the end of the day? You know, when we think about the things that we do just in our daily lives, you know, we brush our teeth. Do you squeeze the tube of toothpaste in the middle, or do you go off the bottom? Yeah, it's top. Okay, there you go. All right. When we mow the yard, do you start in the same place, go the same direction, and go every way? I know you're not supposed to do that, but many times that's what we do. We kind of repeat what it is that we're doing. I know when I go through a buffet line, you know, a lot of times I'll eat something that I never eat at home, but it's there, and if I'm like fried okra, I might eat fried okra. Never eat it at home. We never get it at home. But okay, go through a buffet line. Go to the Pizza Hut for me. When I go to the salad bar, I get Thousand Island dressing at Pizza Hut. That's the only place I ever eat Thousand Island dressing. It's a habit. It's the thing I seem to do in that particular, you know, in that particular setting. You know, and as we go through our daily routine, many times we find some order that makes sense to us. And in the 1700s, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement in England and was studying Christianity and was looking at what was going on in particularly England in that part of the time, there was a lot of unrest and there was a lot of thought-provoking things going on with him. He's determined that there were three simple rules that if we would follow, it would help us make our walk with Jesus Christ and knowing God a little bit easier. And some of you may have read these rules by John Wesley. One, do no harm. Two, do good, and three, stay in love with God. These rules are pretty short, they're sweet, they're kind of to the point, and, you know, they ought to be easy for us to follow. You know, most of us, when we get up in the morning, you know, we don't plan to kill somebody, we don't plan to kick the dog, you know, we just get up and do whatever it is that we're going to do, and therefore, we're not going to do anybody harm. We're going to do good. So it's pretty easy to follow those first two rules of what Wesley's talking about. And he wants us to find our relationship with God or a greater being, whatever term you're going to refer to, the bigger power than we are, that daily walk is going to be much easier if we, by habit, figure out a way that we're going to stay in love with God. In Reuben Job's book, Three Simple Rules, he had no idea when he wrote that the world in this recent history was going to be nearly as divided as it is today. You know, we look around the world and we see what's going on, and there's people, and it's very prominent as to what's going on. And because of technology, we know that. We know immediately what's going on in Africa, what's going on in the Middle East. And that's something that makes it hard for us to, you know, live with our head in the sand and say, you know, we're not going to, you know, we don't know what's going on, so we don't need to worry about those people. You know, after any of the conflicts that have happened throughout history, you know, whether it was the war in the wars in the Christian wars in medieval times or world wars in our recent history. We always say, and we always have a kind of a cooling off moment that says that we've learned our lesson, we're going to get along, we're going to make an effort to do the right thing. And this follows right along with what John Wesley talked about in trying to do the right thing. But then you say that we had, for instance, World War II, after the Jews suffered the horrible torture and genocide that they did, the entire world said that was awful. The Nazis were awful in doing what they did to people, and we'll never allow that to happen again. We don't treat a fellow human being that way. Well, what's going on now? There's genocide, there's human trafficking going on all over the world now. And we look at ways and say to ourselves, how can that happen? You know, we're smart enough, we've got technology, we've got missiles, we've got whatever it takes to make this world a good spot, and we're still killing people, we're still trying to figure out a way to outdo one another, and it makes it pretty tough to say, all those people that before us made sacrifices so that we could live the life that we are here in the United States, and especially in the United States, we are very blessed because we have lots of poverty, but we don't have the poverty and the sickness that are in many, many parts of the world. So we have to, kind of be reminded of that. John Wesley understood when he wrote, even in the 1700s, that people would go through tough times. There would be illness, there would be money problems, there could be, earthquakes, there could be all kinds of things going on in the world. And those tough times, that we would have to try to endure those. And he told us that if we would go through our daily lives loving God and trying to follow what Jesus Christ taught us, that when those tough times come, that we will be able to get through them a little bit easier. And he gave us these three simple rules that I mentioned. Do no harm. If we follow the rule, that's a conscious decision that each of us should make each morning and say, okay, let's make this a habit that we're going to do no harm. Okay, we can do that. We don't think that we're, going to go out and do something abusive or we're going to do something that's really bad. We need to make an effort to say we'll do no harm. Well, that will improve our relationship with our spouse, our kids, the people we work with. And it's an effort. It's a habit. And that becomes something that we should try to do each day. And if we stop and think before we speak, before we act, many times we can avoid a lot of that conflict, a lot of that hard feelings, and hopefully do as Jesus Christ taught us to do in not reacting in some wild and crazy manner or saying something that you're going to regret. Because really, in groups, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's with your social friends, something that someone says or something that someone does can cause lots of conflict. And it could be just the most mundane thing, or it could be someone just as stubborn, they don't want to listen to what somebody else is doing. And you say, okay, let's get beyond this. But it's hard to forget. We're supposed to. But, the old saying, forgive and forget. Many times we do say that we forgive, but it's pretty darn hard to forget. You can kind of remember that, even though you say you're going to do that. And if we can find that common ground in doing no harm, then that makes it easier when we go through that daily walk of trying to do what's right and following what Jesus Christ has told us to do. He said that doing no harm is the good advice for faithful living. And with that, following as Methodists and trying to follow his writing, we find that first rule, do no harm, it's a little easier to follow if we'll do that. Secondly, do good. Well, we all can do good, can't we? I mean, you know, whatever it is, we can be nice to our neighbor, we can give the dog a treat, whatever it is, we can all do good. And most of the time, we try, or we say we try to do that. In our scripture lesson, Luke 6, 27 and 8, Jesus says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." What? You know, you say, you know, that's easy advice, and that's probably what Jesus would do, but we're human. You know, it's not so easy to forget about all that stuff. You know, if someone kicks you in the gut, you're going to remember it. You don't like it. And you try to, you know, get beyond what it is that we're looking at. And it's pretty tough to, in your mind, to consistently say, "I'm going to do good," if people are knocking you down. And we need to make an effort to not wait until someone asks you to say, "Could you take food to John and Mary? They're sick. They've got problems. Their stove went out," or whatever it may be. We all can find things to do, not only with people within our church, but with our neighbors, people we work with, doing things that are helpful. Maybe it's helping somebody fix their car, or they need a ride to the doctor. Those kinds of things are the stuff that Jesus is asking us to do here in Warsaw, Missouri, as we say many, many times, that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And those of us that are in our daily walk, those are the things that we need to try to do so that we can help, you know, whoever it might be. And that's all all that he's asking us to do. And, you know, you look at the way God says we're going to do good, and that whole concept of trying to consistently be good is a pretty tough act to follow. You know, we try to figure out how we're going to do that. But if we show, you know, a calmness and a compassion for our fellow man, then that's gonna make that daily walk just a little bit easier. And we're gonna find that the things that we do, if we make it a habit of to do no harm and to do good, that's gonna make it easier, because we're living that. We feel a little bit more comfortable in making those things that are expected of us. We ask God to give us direction. You know, we say, "God, I will do this." Maybe in a prayer, you'll say something that you want something to change. I know when I was younger, I would pray and say, "You know, God, you know, give me direction. Tell me what I should do. Should I do this or do that?" Or if big decisions, you know, like if you're going to change jobs, if you're going to get married, if you're going to, you know, think about having a family, all that stuff. But we always, as humans, go and then we kind of stop before, you know, we get to fully committing, saying, "Yeah, I want you to tell me what to do, but don't ask too much of me. You know, don't make it inconvenient. Don't make it something that, oh, maybe my friends will think that's kind of dorky. I don't want to do that. I think we're all guilty of that. It's just tough to try to figure out the things that we should do, and even when we ask those things that we want, you know, okay, God, I'll do this, but, and we always have that but in there that kind of slows us down. And along that same line, as we go, you know, go in our walk here at the church, as Methodist, we're considered connectional. One of the things that we do as Methodists is we try to go beyond our borders, beyond our church, our home church, to other Methodists, to other people in Missouri, the United States, and around the world. And part of what we, or how we go about doing that, is we give a portion of our tithes and offerings every week go to what's called apportionments. And that might be to help build wells in Mozambique, which our church has recently done in the last couple of years. The malaria nets, that was something that this particular church worked on, you know, in the last couple of years. Those kinds of things, maybe it's to send a bicycle to a missionary that's, someplace in Africa, and there's no way to get from one church to another. He may have two or three churches that he's trying to get on a Sunday, and the only way he can get there is by walking. And if you could get him a bicycle, that's very little, but that'll help him tremendously. We live in a culture that is pretty much me directed, and like I said, you know, we're willing to say, God, tell me what to do, but don't make it inconvenient, or I can't do it on Friday. Maybe I could do it Monday, or those kinds of things. We raise our kids up to make them think they're very special, and many times those kids think, you know, it's all about me. Well, it is all about me, but it's also they have to learn to be compassionate, and they have to learn to share. All those things that you try to do and try to teach your kids about. Our kids just went on a mission trip, you know, helping people build churches, you know, actually physically doing work. And for, I know there's many of you in the congregation that have been on those mission trips, and that's exactly what that's all about. You are providing services, doing whatever it might be, and usually, in our case down here, it's usually pretty hot when we do that. You know, we go someplace and it's 100 degrees and the humidity is 100%. But you know, when the day's done, you really feel like you've done something, and you think that you feel as though you have done something that God has asked you to do. And thirdly, the rule that Wesley wrote, and from my estimation, is probably the hardest to do, is stay in love with God and trying to figure out what that means. What does he want us to do to stay in love with God? You know, to do no harm, we kind of know what that it means. To do good, we know what that means. But staying in love with God, that can be kind of tough. You know, trying to figure out how we're going to do what Jesus is asking us to do by staying in love with God. Wesley describes the spiritual disciplines. They teach us to be in harmony with one another. Even though we all can be different, we can do different things, we can believe that you can get a sense of accomplishment by going this way or going that way. But when it all comes to an end, we're supposed to follow what Jesus has tried, you know, tried to teach us. And, when we say staying in love with God, you know, maybe that means by doing good, we're going to, you know, go on a mission trip or were, you know, going to send $10 to some school to buy books in Africa or whatever it may be. And by doing good and by doing no harm, staying in love with God makes it a little bit easier. That third rule makes a little bit more sense when we get to that point, saying, okay, what is it that he's asking us to do? The spiritual disciplines that I think we all do, whatever religion that we're trying to follow, God asks us to follow those, and if we make it a habit, like I said, we're all pretty much some you know, called a creature of habit, and the habits that we follow, some are good, some are bad, and hopefully we can figure those out along our life's journey and work at making those, you know, a little bit easier. You know, some people may want to get up in the morning and pray. You know, they're going to make it a habit, and that is their way to stay in love with God. Others might read the daily word. They might read the scripture. And again, if they make it a habit, it is a little bit easier to do that. Some of us are really good at that. Some of us are really bad at that. And we say, okay, I'm going to get better next week. I'm going to start praying daily. And I'm going to try to pray beyond me. You know, we're all guilty of praying to God, but usually it's about us or it's some negotiation, you know. God, if you will only let my child get well, I'll go to church every Sunday for the next 5 years, you know. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants that walk to be something that we will be the habit of trying to move through this life's journey. And sometimes that makes it kind of tough. Another area of habit that makes it easier for us to stay in love with God is being involved or participating in a Christian community, like coming to church, like going to small groups, like going to a Bible study. Whatever you might call that, it's easier. I'm going to have to be, somebody to tell me that they can get the same thing out of a television that they can by coming into a community of faith, whether it's this church or, you know, meeting in a drugstore or a coffee shop or whatever it is. I think it's a little tough. I mean, you might get the word, you might learn something about God, but I think being among fellow Christians in a community of faith helps us all make that walk, and that is one of those areas where staying in love with God, it makes it a little bit easier, and I think that's what Wesley was talking about. And he really has created the human, those of us, you know, all of us, to act and think. He has given us a mind so that we can be creative. We can look at new ways to either study Him or maybe to worship Him. And we've got it, even in this small, you know, rural town, in this particular church, we have two different styles of worshiping. Well, I think that's perfectly fine, and I think, you know, that's what we're expected to do. Look at new ways to do something. You know, technology. You know, we have some technology here. That's just another way of making that experience a little bit better. You know, you go to some mega churches, and you know they've got big screens all over the place, and you know, flashing lights and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Well, that's another way that someone has determined that God is going to touch our lives or do something, you know, with us. So I think that's important that we look at those options. And if somebody wants to do something on Saturday night at 4 o'clock rather than, you know, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, rather than being critical, maybe we should just say, hey, you know, that might be a way we can do that. Or, you know, if we want to go down to the river and baptize someone rather than doing it here with sprinkling water, those type of things. We just need to look at our options and always be open, because God may be talking to each of us in some crazy way. Another thing about staying in love with God is, you know, in addition to being in the community of faith, the way we worship, the way we pray, Wesley says that we need to do those. We need to have the Lord's Supper. And he always is saying that we need to help those that are less fortunate than we are. And helping others is showing signs that God is a part of our lives and that we're trying to do what he wants us to do. In closing, I want to remind you that, you know, we're not asked, you know, he does not ask us to be religious martyrs, that he's not asking us to go and give up everything. Some people have that calling, you know, someone like Mother Teresa or someone, that's doing missionary work in some remote place in Malaysia or someplace like that. Some people have that calling, but for the majority of people, he's just asking us to follow the footsteps of Jesus and asking us to do what we can in our lives. Touch the people that we can get to. And I think in that walk, it seems to be a little easier that if we get in a habit of doing that, we get in a habit coming to church, just like eating, sleeping, you know, getting up and doing whatever it is you're going to do. If you make that conscious effort to do good, you know, do no harm, and stay in love with God, those three simple rules make it a little easier for us to do that walk. It helps us to feel less uncomfortable in doing whatever it is that we do. So I encourage, you know, myself and encourage all of you to make an effort, try to make it a habit to, when you get up in the morning, say, I'm going to do something good for somebody. I'm going to put a smile on my face. If that's all it is, I'm going to be nice to the gal that works next door in the next cubicle. I don't like her, but I'm going to be nice to her. Well, maybe you'll decide you do like her, or maybe there's something there that you can figure out what it is that you want to do. So if we can work at making that attitude a positive note and following those three simple rules, do no harm, do good, stay in love with God, and if we make an effort to make that a habit, that daily walk will become much easier for all of us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this love that is shown that we discussed this morning. And we ask that you show us what's right, what's wrong, and how we can go about doing what you would like for us to do, representing Jesus here on earth. We ask that you bless all of those people that are here this morning. We pray that they have safe travels, they have a good week, and can return next week. Let each of us know what you are wanting us to do on a daily basis. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.